Good morning. We are calling to order the Wednesday, April 27th, 2011 variance hearing. My name is Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator. Kayla, the executive secretary, could be at the controls for the hearing this morning. First, let me go over some general information about the variance hearing process, particularly the order of presentation. The applicant and/or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present their arguments on why the variance should be granted. And during this presentation, they should focus on the 5 required findings and how all 5 findings of the variance are met. More on the findings in just a minute. Any proponents or opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak during public comment. And if there's any opponents, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During this time, I may ask questions of the project sponsor and or members of the public. And also at the end of the hearing, I will generally close the hearing. May continue to another day, but typically we'll close the hearing and either indicate that it's going to be granted, denied, granted with conditions, or make take the matter under advisement and make a decision at a later date. We have on our calendar today both consent items and regular items. Consent items are matters that are considered routine, and if anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. We will then pull it off the consent calendar and have a full hearing on it. Otherwise, the item would be granted with standard conditions. Going into the criteria for justifying a variance, there are 5, as I mentioned, and they're outlined in Section 305C of the Planning Code. And it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the number of variance cases, even though we only have 7 on the calendar, we still do have a backlog of variance cases. May take up to 2 months to complete the variance decision letter. If you wish to receive a copy of the variance decision letter, please sign up on the sign-up sheets that are on the far side on the wall and put your contact information. We'll mail you a copy. The variance decision letter carries with it a 10-day appeal period and is appealable to the Board of Appeals within that 10-day appeal period. Also, for public sponsors, when you step forward to present your case, please submit your declaration of posting, which is the document that testifies that you have performed the required posting of the property. General other comments, while we encourage all parties to discuss and to discuss the project, private conversations can be disruptive to the process, so please take those out into the hall. We'll be beginning with the consent calendar, and right now we currently have 1 case on there, which is 118 Broadway Street, but I would also like to add the last case on the agenda, item number 7, which is 3781 23rd Street. Is the project sponsor for this case here? I didn't inform you before, but we would like to add this to the consent calendar, which would mean that the item is approved if no one wants to have a public hearing on it. So with that, we'll have those 2 items on consent.
We'll start with the consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2011.0042V, 118 Broderick Street, rear yard non-compliant structure and exposure, variances sought.
And
the second item would be case number 2011.0303V, 3781 23rd Street, rear yard variance sought.
So is there any member of the public that would like to speak on either one of those 2 items? And again, that's case number 2011.0042V for 118 Broderick Street, and case number 2011.0303V for 3781 23rd Street. And seeing that there are no members of the public that would like to comment on these, I would close the public hearing on both items and grant subject to standard conditions.
Moving on to the regular calendar, case number two. Case number 2011.0020V, 3206 Jackson Street, front setback variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here, please? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here are my personal photographs, and we also have an agency agreement for myself from the clients.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So this is a single-family residence located at 3206 Jackson Street. I'm going to go through the 5 points. The exceptional or extraordinary circumstances that apply to the property. The property varies from typical residential properties in that the existing house is within the front setback line according to the current code requirements. That is not to say that when it was built, it probably complied with front setback codes. The unusual circumstance is that the adjacent property to the west side of the home is a vacant lot, which is 30 feet wide. So that technically the building that is considered the adjacent building for the purposes of the front setback is the next house over on the other side of the vacant lot. That home happens to have a lot that's twice the depth of my client's lot, a much larger property, and they have a front setback of 10.5 feet. So for my client's property, we are using an average method of front setback and calculating that to be 6 feet front setback required. The house that was built in 1977 does not have a 6 foot front setback at either half, and whereas if a new house were to be built on the adjacent vacant lot and built using the alternative method of averaging, they could build right up to the front setback line adjacent to my client and then back 10 foot 6 on the west side, which would then erase the non-compliance of my client's home. So as a pre-existing condition, it appears that according to current rules, the property is a non-complying front setback property, but I believe that's questionable as to whether it was possibly complying when it was built, because it was built in 1977. The project is under renovation currently. We are doing the renovation within within limitations that don't require a variance or any other aspect of the project. The one aspect that they were really hoping to get a variance for is for the bay window. They would like to square off the bay window. So this is a very minor modification. We are not changing the building envelope in the front setback, except for at the bay window, where essentially the clients would like to square off the bay window instead of having an angle design. The square footage is almost identical. It's just 4 square feet bigger as the corners are coming out. The parameters of the bay window do meet the code requirements of the size and location of bay windows in San Francisco. Item number two, this is an unnecessary hardship not created or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. The owner recently bought this property just last year in July, so they inherited the property as is with this front setback issue. Item number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the property rights. The property owner is improving the condition of their home with new siding, roofing, windows, finishes, and fixtures. They're very sensitive to their context. They're requesting a modest modification to their bay window, which fulfills their design vision in a way that complements their neighborhood. Item number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. The proposed project is compatible with the patterns and architectural features of the surrounding buildings, varied front setbacks, and a broad pattern of bay windows that are angled, square, and curved, complement one another, with similarities in scale, orientation, and rhythm on that block. And item number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the code and will not adversely affect the master plan. The proposal is consistent with the generally stated intent and purpose to promote orderly and beneficial development. The proposed renovation draws from the scale of architectural features that are common to the
block. Sorry, it's your time to just wrap up that.
Okay. And while positively contributing to the existing mixed visual character through its design integrity, use of quality materials, and carefully crafted details. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think you presented a very thorough case as to why a variance is justified here, in particular focusing on the existing condition of the lot and the fact that built prior to 1978, which we did have a major change in the planning code in 1978.
Oh.
And so it was conceivable that it was prior to that under the previous zoning, which did allow this as a code-complying structure. And
I see.
Now the zoning has changed, rendering it non-code-complying. Do you know how long the adjacent property has been vacant for?
It is still vacant. I believe it was just recently purchased, maybe 2 months ago. I don't know if they've closed on the property or not, but I believe that the adjacent neighbors do have plans to develop the property.
But there's, you don't know how long it's been vacant for?
No, I don't know how long it. I believe that it belonged to the homeowner that's up on the other side of the vacant lot, and so they had held on to it, I think, for their whole lives, and then recently put it on the market because it's an elderly woman who lives there.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this and would be inclined to grant this subject to standard conditions, noting that it's a very minor change and this otherwise would have been code-complying had there been no front setback requirement here, that which was necessitated because of the adjacent vacant lot, and it sounds as if there are future development plans here for that vacant lot. So with that, does that incline to grant? Public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number three, case number 2010.1097V, 324 Park Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor for this project here, please? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Heather Ramsey, and I'm a 10-year resident of Vernal Heights. I've been in my home for 9 years at 324 Park Street, and this is my partner, Dan Cole. Currently, I'm living in a home with my daughter, who's 5, as a single working parent. For number one, the exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the current home, the way it's configured, does not have access from the main living level to the outdoor yard space. And so as a parent on my own coming home in the evening when my daughter wants to go outside, I can't actually let her go out while cooking, preparing meals, doing other chores necessary in the evening. Also, the outdoor space isn't safe and secure because it can be accessed from the street. So, number two, the exceptional, extraordinary circumstances. It mainly revolves around my inability to supervise my daughter when she's wanting to be outdoors in the evenings and even on the weekends without being down on the ground level with her. Also, both of us have elderly parents, and when they come to visit, we want to have a space off of the living space where they can easily access this outdoors. The current rear deck needs to be replaced. It's not in good condition, and so in replacing it, we would like to expand it just slightly by 3 feet into the the encroachment is 3 feet into the rear yard, what's allowable into the rear yard. And at some point in the near future, my partner and I will be merging our families, and he has 2 children. And the current indoor living space, the house is approximately 1,400 square feet. It's quite limited with small rooms typical of Bernal Heights earthquake shacks. And so we're hoping to expand our family, common family area living space by adding this deck off of the kitchen. So in terms of that being detrimental to public welfare or other properties in the vicinity, I can't imagine that it would be detrimental to anyone in the neighborhood. There are other houses in the neighborhood that have large decks off the back of their homes, and who also have access to the outdoor living space. So I think the situation is a little unique with the backyard in terms of not having, in terms of being able to access it from the street, which makes it less secure for children, but also the fact that the living space is separated from the rear yard. Neighbors who've spoken with me about it are excited for us and the possibility, and have not said that they have any issue with it. In terms of the master plan, I'm not familiar enough with that to know if this has any impact on the master plan, but I would assume that it doesn't. I look to you to let us know that. So that's all I have at this time.
Thank you. Staff had communicated some questions or concerns that I had had, and I hope it didn't cause any confusion when I was asking about the layout of the deck. I was concerned that it wasn't the most usable configuration for you, but it sounds like it's something you have thought about, and this is something you feel would be the best layout for you.
Yeah, I mean, part of it was we were trying not to encroach more than needed. We were trying to make it small and not in any way obtrusive on the yard, but still add a little bit of extra living space.
And then, can you describe the ground floor? It's my understanding that there's work room, rec room down there, and that there's no heat on the ground floor. It's not really habitable.
Well, it's a basement, so it's not a living space, and that has the low ceilings and exposed beams and ductwork. The heater is down there, so there is heat that's produced down there for sure. But it's a basement.
But your main living level is the level at which the deck will be at.
That's right. It's really the only living level. There's a small loft above the bedroom, but it's really a one main level.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And public comment for item number 3324 Park Street. Seeing none, I close the public hearing on this item, and why I initially did have some concerns about this. I think the project sponsor did an excellent job of explaining how this suits their needs in a way, and also does not have any detrimental effect on the neighboring property to the west. Actually, it's built at the very rear of the property as well. So I don't think this will have any negative impact. So close the public hearing and grant the subject to standard conditions. Thank you.
Item number 4, case number 2010.0394V, 2853 to 2857 Broderick Street. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Here's the first one.
Thank you.
Photo. Excuse me. I'm Stephen Hansen Harris, the architect for the proposed project, which involves the raising of the existing house 36 inches and inserting a garage underneath. This property is considered by the department a historic resource. It goes back to construction in 1860. It's one of the original houses on the block, and its status as a historic resource is the primary contributor of an exceptional circumstance of this property. The rear yard variance is only required because of elements in the rear that project slightly beyond the rear yard, and this property being built when the lot was actually longer, was not non-conforming at the time. In addition, the additional circumstance that affects it is because of its historic resource standing, modifications to the front that don't raise the building are also not allowed by the department under the CEQA review. We have had the review under environmental review, and it was determined that while I was proposing raising it 4 feet, the department requested lowering it down to being raised only 3 feet. So that's what we're proposing. And that seemed to be mitigating any negative impacts to the historic resource. So basically, I'm finding number two, literally enforcing the code would not allow the homeowner to add a garage at all, and in addition would require elements in the back that are also historic elements to be removed. So the variance in this case is necessary to be granted to allow the property owner to maintain a historic resource, not have a negative impact or loss of a historic resource, and also preserve their right to have maintain the two-family dwelling and provide two-car parking for it. And because the raising of the building only 3 feet is minor, it produces a benign impact on the surrounding neighborhood, therefore materially not detrimental to the public welfare or the property or improvements in the vicinity. So, in to wrap up, very short, the master plan is also not effective because this preserves both the historic resource and preserves two family dwellings in performance with the existing RH2 zone. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Also appreciate the work that you've done and working with the department to make those modifications. Having dropped the height, also think with some concerns about the ground floor layout and also the stairs. And so I understand that the project has been revised to drop a set of stairs down to the lower level.
Yes.
And that's to deal with room down issues where we have independent access to the street and also the full bathroom that goes on the ground floor. And I think this has been through a few versions now with the department. Agree that you are maintaining the resource here, addressing the department's historic preservation concerns. While parking is not required, but it's consistent legal non-conforming building, you are allowed to provide parking, and doing so will bring the building closer to conformity with the current requirements of the code, and also maintaining the two dwelling units in the RH2 district. But is there any public comment on this item? This is on Broderick. This is 2853 to 2857 Broderick Street. Seeing none, that closed public hearing on this item. I understand that the Section 311 notification is pending issuance.
Yes. So actually, Len did ask for an additional copy to the file. Is that something I should?
Yes, please. Thank you very much. The Section 311 notification is pending, so we'll take the matter under advisement. We are going to grant it. Based on the facts that I just recited, but we'd like to await the conclusion of the Section 311 notification period to see if there are any additional comments or concerns that are raised during that time. So we're taking the matter under advisement and declined to grant it, but the decision letter will not be issued until the Section 311 notification has been completed. Okay. And our public hearing is closed, and we move on to the next item.
Item number five, case number 2010.0173B, 403 Laurel Street, rear yard variance law. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Jeremy Paul speaking for Bailey Sorry, the project sponsor. If we can go to the overhead, I'd like to show you the slides of the current conditions there. There are, in terms of presenting this case to you, sir, I'd like to take a few moments and explain what the circumstances necessary for us to seek this variance, to explain what we have done to try to meet the neighbor's concerns, and then to clarify on the findings. Do we have the
order? You have to do the motion, is that four?
That four? Okay, well, I will get started. There were some trees along the rear property line of this very small lot that the neighbor owning the apartment building to the rear had expressed concerns that these shrubs were affecting the foundation of the property and denying light to tenants in these apartments. My client, Mr. Sori, removed the trees. I'm going to pass some documents up to you. And at considerable expense, had Cully Consulting Engineers evaluate whether there was any possibility of any damage done to the foundations, as was claimed by the neighbor, and found that there was no possibility that a shrub like this could affect that. But the trees were removed nonetheless to provide light for the adjacent windows. As I'm trying to show you slides,
why don't we just take a minute break since we can get this resolved?
Thank you so much. So it's a very small deck on a very small lot.
Sorry, so I think we have 3 minutes left on the clock. So
I need to talk to him again.
Add another minute back on.
Well, I'll give you 4.5.
4 minutes now.
What you can see in this picture is the existing spiral stair coming down from the existing deck. To the right is the building and the windows of the nail salon facing Sacramento Street. That's a big part of the problem. We have fumes coming in from property line windows that were put in from this nail salon. They have not been willing to manage their toxic fume problem. To the rear, you see one of the windows that is closest to this property that was cleared by the removal of the shrub. We put narrow shrubberies back in that will not create any sort of direct obstruction. But as you can see in this photograph, and you'll see every single photograph that I've ever taken here, none of these ground level rear windows are ever used for light for the room. That doesn't mean that they should be obstructed, but each, under the planning code, every property needs to provide light and ventilation under it, on its own property. And placing a deck at the height of the existing deck is not going to further obstruct either of these windows or any of those windows that you see further down. If you look to the south, you see the condition of the adjacent property with a similar deck projecting. We've modified this project as proposed in order to set back away from that property line and not require a firewall, and to minimize the impact that we will have on any of the surrounding properties. Again, this is facing the Sacramento Street property. You can see that under the deck there's another window from the nail salon. So in terms of the direct answers to the findings, we clearly have exceptional extraordinary circumstances as a key lot facing Sacramento Street and a commercial space with apartments directly behind us, not making a lot of use of windows that are not going to be substantially affected by a deck extension beyond what is there at present. If you can take a look at this photograph for a moment, Mr. Sanchez, you can see the juxtaposition of the deck, the adjacent structure, and the window of the apartment. You can see that it doesn't matter where we put this deck in this narrow rear yard, it's the best we can do to provide usable open space to the property owner. It's a darkly shaded and remote backyard. It stays damp most of the year. Having some elevated open space accessible from the living level of the property is the most practical solution. Accessing the rear yard from under the deck requires the use of a door that is about my head height. It's necessary for me to duck going in and out of it. It is not a legal door height. It does not meet the minimum requirements of a 6'8" opening. There is not that much clearance under the deck, as the deck height itself is at 7 feet. And it's not going to the following slide, so I will leave the slides aside. And to say that we have an exceptional, extraordinary circumstance, there is no practical hardship being imposed on adjacent property owners. Despite the claims to the contrary, we are really not going to create an effect to the adjacent neighbors. We've met with them several times. The same kind of claim has been made, but it's really undemonstrable that an improvement of the open space for this neighbor is going to happen to the detriment of the other.
Thank you. So, two questions. What's the history of this deck? I think that the neighbor has raised concerns that this is not, in fact, a legal deck. What has your research indicated?
I don't have the permit history present with me, but my understanding is that the last major remodel that was done on the house was in the late 80s, and that the deck was built with permit at that time. It certainly seems to date from that period, as does the interior remodel.
So we believe this has been here since the late 80s, and it was previously, as you indicated in the materials here, which are available if the neighbors would like to take a look at them. And just for the record, it's a letter from Peter, a called a consulting engineer, regarding roots and trees, and then some emails from Bailey Sorey, between Bailey Sorey and Vaughn Lowe and Steve McDonald. So those trees were removed, and they had previously provided some privacy to the adjacent building.
They provided considerable privacy, and there was some concern that it was actually unnecessarily shading the windows of the apartments. And so their request, they were removed.
And you indicated you had several meetings. Could you detail that a little bit more, what the results were, what discussions about possible mitigation measures? That has a certain sequence terminology to it, but what alternatives that might address the neighbors' concerns?
Well, I really think that the only feedback we got that suggested that that the neighbor who was here in opposition had suggested would be acceptable is no alteration at all.
Maintaining the existing deck.
Pardon me?
And maintaining the existing deck.
Yes. Well, at least she had never indicated to us previously that she was challenging the existence of the existing deck.
And then, just to clarify, the ground floor is basement and garage. There's no habitable.
There is no habitable use on the garage level, and the parking level is at grade, coming off the street, and then there are several steps up to the level that accesses the rear yard. So that is a very low ceiling height portion of the basement, so that when you exit to the rear, basically there's no head clearance for someone of 6 feet or taller as high.
So this is the first living level, and it's a single family dwelling, correct?
That's correct.
But it's within R1 zoning district, which is our kind of more moderate density. It's not a RH1, RH2, a top low density district. It's a moderate density district, and the neighbor's property is within a C1, which is actually a neighborhood commercial mm-hmm. zoning district, not a purely residential district, but a mixed-use district, is that correct?
That's correct. And I think that makes it a unique condition that makes it appropriate for us to improve the habitability of the single-family dwelling by improving the access to usable open space.
Okay, thank you. So now move on to public comment. Anyone who can speak in as support or opposition to the project, and we give 3 minutes each.
You have 3 minutes.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Stephen MacDonald, and I represent the HO president, Alice Farrelly. Did you receive my letter yesterday?
Yes, I have a copy of it.
Okay, great. Well, as I stated, we just don't see how any, not to mention all, of the 5 conditions are going to be met here. We don't see any exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. There is no difficulty or unnecessary hardship in maintaining it as what it is. And by the way, we don't believe it is a deck. It is more likely to be accurately described as a landing. There's no space for a table or, I don't think, any chairs there. It's basically a landing and a stairwell down. So we resist the description of it being a replacement of the deck. I don't think the deck exists there, but you're better able to judge that than I. We don't see a substantial property right in this for the applicant. It's an amenity, so that's a luxury, not a right. Certainly, there will be material detriment to the neighbors, as we tried to explain, and as my client, I think, will poignantly testify to. The effect on the bedroom, immediately adjoining this deck, is going to be about 8 feet. We're very, very concerned with ever being able to use that as a bedroom with potentially even well-behaved partiers on that deck, which is, I think, its intended use. And finally, we don't see how this at all harmonizes with the code. In fact, we think it defies every aspect of the code that we've cited in my letter and the architect's letter regarding rear yards. It's small to begin with. It's going to be much, much smaller. It's going to be right up on the bedroom of both the lower unit and the upper unit above it, and potentially the top unit as well. So the property rights of my client are very, very much impacted. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Can I give this to Mr. Sanchez? Floor plan of 3515 Sacramento. First, I'd like to go over some bullet points. These are condos, not apartments. There are no trees there until 2006. The HOA has a 2-year history of corresponding with the prior owner to keep her small trees short so they did not obstruct the light and views of 3515 Sacramento. By the time the property was sold to Bailey's Story, the trees were much higher. The fact that the trees were an issue for us was not disclosed to him. So this is why Steve McDonald got involved and got involved in communicating with the new owner. And the trees became so large that they rubbed up against our building and windows and had to be taken down. The nail salon windows are illegal. There's no permit for any of that. The nail salon is a garage. There's only a railing on one side, which has been attached to our building without our consent. The 403 rear yard space is paved and landscaped. It has very nice cobblestones that don't need repair and is very usable. The prior owner used it as such for many, many years. There have been no meetings at all with the project sponsor. In fact, we have had to fight to have a pre-application meeting and to have the sign that was posted on the building for this hearing moved to the ground level where it could be seen. I have given you a detailed floor plan there of 3515 Sacramento, and I'm going to read a very brief letter I wrote. I am the owner of 3515 Sacramento, the lowest unit in the 3-unit building made up of 3515, 3517, and 3519 Sacramento. I also live upstairs at 3517 Sacramento, and I have owned both units for more than 10 years. Although 3515 Sacramento is a condo, I've always made it available as a rental, often to couples with children. And in this letter, I included a long history of tenants, 4 families with children, and 4 sets of roommates, 3 roommates each. I'm opposed to the proposed deck project.
As outlined in earlier correspondence, the yard is very tiny, does not meet zoning standards, and building a gathering place. What is there now is a landing. You can take two steps out there to get to the stairs. You cannot put a table there. You cannot gather there. It's an emergency exit for safety out of the second floor, and that is all. And it's right on top of us. We're going to have to keep the shades drawn in the bedroom and the kitchen, and we're not going to be able to use the bedroom for sleeping. Now, if you look at the floor plan, this reduces this condominium from 2.5 bedrooms to 1.5 bedrooms. There are two normal-sized bedrooms, the north bedroom, which is the one most impacted, which is up against the 403 Laurel property, and then there is the south bedroom. Those are normal. Then there's a small bedroom, 7x10. So this is going to impact the rents. It's also going to impact the value at sale, and I have a statement for $115,000. And it seems like...
that was time.
Yeah, I mean, this is really unfair. I mean, this is necessary use of our building, and we're going to pay a heavy price so that our neighbor can have an amenity, a non-necessary addition to his building, and I hope you will deny the variance.
Okay. So you said that you have not had any meetings with the project sponsor?
No. There was only a pre-application meeting, and only I got to attend at the time, and we had a second one because there's the new owner. When we asked for plans, we were told to go to Jeremy Paul's office during business hours. I mean, every trick in the book has been pulled to make this difficult.
Did you go to his office?
When we worked with Sierra Valle to get a PDF copy, because, okay, you know, everybody works, it's hard to go.
So you've had one meeting with the project sponsor, and that was
it? We went to a pre-application meeting, and that was it. There's clearly no concern or care for the impact it has on our building.
Thank you. I'd like the project sponsor to come up, and the project sponsor will begin a rebuttal, and I have a few more comments to make before you can get to the rebuttal, but I'd like the project sponsor to address the point that was just raised, that there's only been one meeting, and I'm sorry, but I think when you were speaking earlier, you said that there were several meetings.
This is, I met with Ms. Fairley herself and other either partners or co-owners or residents of the building, I'm not sure which, three times in the course of the this process. You know, this application is over a year old, and there have been a lot of attempts to accommodate, a lot of attempts to meet and address the issues raised, and we felt that we have accommodated and met those issues.
That's answered my question. I'd like to actually go back to Ms. Farrell and have a question regarding the layout here. So the windows that you indicated on the floor plan here, we have one which is at a greater than 45-degree angle to the 403 Laurel property, and that's for the north bedroom. It's a south-facing window, so it would provide light to that bedroom. Then there's a hall window,
a laundry room, a small kitchen window, and then two kitchen windows in the corner,
which are above the sink, and then one is...
Right, and I've been emphasizing the kitchen and the bedroom, but there are more windows than that.
And the deck in its current configuration does not pose any privacy concerns?
No, it is a privacy issue already. I mean, they're right there. It's like this.
That's it. I mean, you're at the
same level. And I live upstairs. Project Fonda keeps his bedroom window closed. I'm at my kitchen sink. We're looking right at each other. Okay. So the buildings are too close together already.
Are there any measures that could address the concerns that travels at the rear of the deck, something to provide some privacy?
The rear yard is too tiny. I mean, it's too tiny to build anything there that doesn't impact us as a gathering place.
So even that their deck is...
You can't gather, that's a landing. It's uses as a landing, not as a deck.
So their proposed deck is 9'3" away from the rear property line. And even if they were to put a 6-foot-tall trellis at that location, or 8-foot-tall trellis, that was mostly closed, and maybe would have some other vegetation on that, you would still oppose the project.
I would very much oppose it. There have been numerous infants that have used that room, the last one being Lila Nicholson, and they need to sleep during the day. They need to go to bed early in the evening. That's what the bedroom is used for sleeping, and not just in the evenings, also during the day. And you can't do that when people are gathered 8 feet away from you, even 10 feet. It sounds like they're in the bedroom with you.
So
it's
at
the same level. That's the other problem.
If they were at grade level, there's no problem with
that. That's a different level. That's a different level, so it's not going to be direct acoustics, right? So, I mean, but at the same level, that's one big issue, and you can't change that.
Okay, thank you. Project sponsored about 3 minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. I think that this graphic that they provides a really good illustration. We live in a city, and people are in proximity to one another. We have an apartment building, a commercial building, and a single-family residence in close proximity to one another. We are respectful of one another to live in our city. That's the way we function. There has never been a complaint made about noise or misuse of the existing deck, which is functionally not substantially different than what you see here. The existing deck here, this is the property line. The windows you saw are here and here. As we're proposing, we were shifting away from this window that we're closest to, putting the stair such that this usable portion of the deck is pulled as far away from that bedroom window as is practical. In actuality, we are not creating something that's going to increase a potential sound problem for that bedroom window, rather than to decrease it. We are isolating the usable area of the backyard away from the adjacent building. If we are no longer allowing resident use of the open space provided by a deck here, we're encouraging people to be using the entirety of the backyard instead, which is going to put people much more in proximity to these bedroom windows and much more likely to create a potential problem, as if that was something likely to happen in this neighborhood. This really assumes the worst of San Francisco neighbors. And we really shouldn't be relying on that in our application of the planning code. This is a very reasonable response to the conditions of the end of this block where these zoning districts meet. And I would propose that the situation with this newly proposed deck, with the stair pushing the mass of the deck away from the windows that are here and here, will really improve any condition that we have that may cause a nuisance for those neighbors. But frankly, the possibility of a nuisance is really remote. And it's truly baffling to me, having spent 20 or more years handling deck cases like this in San Francisco, the degree of opposition that this adjacent property owner is placing to something that is a very reasonable proposal and is a very, very minor likelihood of ever creating a nuisance. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you. Well, I'm disappointed that there hasn't been a more constructive dialogue between the parties. I don't know if there's been 3 meetings or if there's been 1 meeting of getting different different opinions on that, which it seems to me that's a pretty concrete fact. You've met once or you've met 3 times, and both parties should be able to tell me the same thing. So it's frustrating that I can't hear the same thing from both parties. That said, I think there's clearly an argument here for a deck, and with all due respect to Mr. McDonald and to Ms. Farrelly, but I think that there is clearly justification for a variance in this location. This is a substandard lot, 21 feet wide, 60 or so feet, 62 feet deep. There is a setback from the front property line. The lower level is non-habitable space. This is the first living level. So in order to accommodate usable open space, which is a planning code requirement to have usable open space, to have it accessible from the main level, arguably that is a luxury. I think it's one that we generally try to afford those in San Francisco. That said, I'm not at this point willing to make a final ruling on this. And I would very much like the parties to meet and discuss this and see if there's any alternative. I think that there is clearly a case to be made for a deck and stairs, whether or not it's a deck of the same size, which is about 88 square feet and slightly larger than the existing deck, whether that could be cut back a little bit, whether there could be some screening or some other method to afford additional privacy, whether or not it could be relocated. Perhaps it's better in its current location against the adjacent building that provides maybe less direct line of sight into that bedroom window. And of the windows that were described, to me that would be the greatest concern in terms of protecting privacy to the bedroom. Windows into laundry, into hall, and even, into the kitchen, at least for above a sink in a kitchen. I think we can be a bit more flexible with that, and then hopefully both parties will be able to come together and be reasonable and come up with some creative solution here that will allow a deck and stairs and still afford the neighbor their privacy. Also noting, as I said before, this is a very small lot. It's in a higher density residential district. It's abutting a neighborhood commercial district. So I think that there's some different expectations that we have to have here when thinking about privacy. This is not an RH1D district with mandatory side setbacks. This is lot line to lot line coverage, and in this case, a very small lot and a very small rear yard. So I think we have to come up with some creative solutions. At this point, we have two options, and I'd like to hear from both parties on that. We could take the matter under advisement, which would mean that we don't have any future public hearings, and get hopefully some compromise back from both parties, or we can continue this to either the May calendar, which is already quite full, most preferably would be the June calendar after that, if that's the other option. So I wanted to get feedback from both parties. I won't make the decision, but I would like to hear back from both parties about what their thoughts are on those alternatives. So we'll start with the project sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. I would propose that it would be wise to take under advisement. Let us come back with a couple of different options that could possibly assuage Ms. Farrelly's concerns, and then leave it to the zoning administrator to actually make a decision. I don't think that we're likely to get a lot of progress out of another public hearing, taking more variance hearing time with this. I will also provide the dates of those meetings that we have had, so you have it on record. We had proposed a pergola to provide a visual obstruction. There are ways we could manage doing that in such a way that it's just partial and protecting visual acuity to that window. And we'll play with that and give it to our adjacent neighbor, and hopefully we could work something out that would be more acceptable.
And the Section 311 notification has not been performed on this, is correct?
I believe that it has.
It has been?
Yes.
We're willing to discuss the matter in the coming days with the project sponsor.
Thank you.
There are other witnesses that I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And so there's other people here for public comment?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Did anyone want to testify under public comment? I apologize, sir. I thought that we had heard everyone. Sir, you probably gave them 3 minutes to speak. And if you raise any new information, then the project sponsor can have another rebuttal.
My name is Carl Kishifu. I've already submitted my objection to the variance to the planner. And I just noticed that the picture shows no trees against the back property. If you look at the pictures I've taken about a month ago, I think somebody cut those trees out to make it like it is nothing wrong. But I think this project is too big for what the size property for light and privacy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Apologize for not calling you sooner. Is there anyone else who wanted to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item, take the matter under advisement, directing both parties to meet and hopefully develop some creative solutions to this issue. As I stated before, I think that there is justification here for a deck and stairs, not saying that it's necessarily this deck and stairs, but I would like the parties to meet and discuss alternatives. And so with that, we would move on to the next item.
Last item, item number six, case number 2011.0156B, 407.
Sir, I'm sorry. Do you have a question? Or?
Yeah, I was stuck in traffic and I missed the hearing for the previous item, 2853 Broderick Street.
Sorry, so we granted the variance on that item. So I'm sorry that you missed the hearing, but we did start at 9:30. This was the bay window. Work correct?
No, it's the setback variance for the rear yard setback and for raising the building 3 feet.
Oh, okay. So
for
the garage.
For the garage. And my next door neighbor from the south.
So if you could actually come up to the microphone so we can
yes.
record it. And
yes, sir. My name is Irving Zaretsky.
Oh.
And I am the next door neighbor at 2853-57 Broderick. And I was just able to download the plans this morning from the computer. And I noticed that the plans that were submitted to you were fraudulent. They don't describe the existing situation as it is. And if you take a look at the plans for the new building section, they pretend that the section between their building and my building is an 8-foot straight line crosswalk when it's not. They fail to show all the bay windows on my building that go over the area. And if they put their stairs for the lower unit in front, they'll block all access to the driveway. They'll have to trespass on my property to get to their rear yard.
Okay, sir. Thank you for those comments. The public hearing is closed.
Right.
What do I
do now at this point? What's the procedure?
So if you please contact the staff planner for that, Glenn Cabreros, inform him of these apparent discrepancies in the plans. And he will review those. We did not grant the variance yet. We took it under your advisement pending the completion of the Section 311 neighborhood notification. So there's still opportunity for you to oppose it, but the public hearing has been closed. And I would appreciate it if you could also contact the project sponsor's architect or the project sponsor and advise them of these discrepancies so they can address your concerns. And if there's just maybe there's an oversight, maybe there's something that they can do to clarify for you, but we can get resolution from that.
Definitely. So the plan checker's name is?
Glenn Cabreros is the staff planner.
Cabreros, and he can be found at 1650 Mission?
Yes, let me find his phone number for you as well, so you can have that.
Just to call the main number.
Yeah, 558-6300. And they will be able to forward you to
Glenn Cabreros.
Yeah, and his name and number will be on the notification materials that were sent to you.
Oh, so he's either being resent or have they already been sent?
The variance has already been sent, and the Section 311 notification will be sent.
And then there'll be a period of time before a rehearing or a request for a rehearing.
There's two issues here. One, a Section 311 notice, which will give 30 days for you to express your concerns and comments. And if so, if you choose to, you can file a discretionary review request. If the concerns that you raised to Mr. Cabreros, and you can give them a call now, if those show that there are issues that you've raised that necessitate a re-noticing of this project, then we will make that determination. But we need more information in order to make a determination whether or not my time is up. To make a new hearing. So we'll review all that information and make that determination. But they should contact Mr. Cabreros today and inform him of your concerns.
Thank you very much. Perhaps you just make a note that I missed the hearing because I was in a traffic jam and so I came here to as soon as I could.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks very much, Mr. Sanchez.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, going back to item number six, case number 2011.0156B, 407 Laurel Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Mark. I've been working with the owners at 407 Laurel, Peter and Marnell. The history of the project was that there was a deck there about 17.6 by 9 feet. The deck needed repair. It had significant termite damage as the person was preparing the deck, he kept peeling back more and more, finding that the wood was not good. Since then, if the owner would have applied for a like-kind permit, he would have just been able to build the exact same deck. But since then, they've decided to make the deck significantly smaller and have access to the rear yard, which brings us to our new deck size, which is 8x8, and with a stair that leads down to the rear yard. The deck has been there since the owner has been there for the past 30 plus years. And I'll just bring up Peter right now.
I'm just showing you a picture where your picture tells a thousand words. I don't know how much detail you can see. I don't know how much you can see, but this was taken in the early 80s. And my wife and I and a friend from England on the deck. And you look at my face and then look at the face there, and I think the picture tells a lot. We played for a very long time. We kept it in excellent condition. I think, as you can see, the railings were wooden tickets were painted. When we found some evidence of dry rot, we started to repair it. But frankly, it got right into the core. I don't know how you possibly repair a deck that's that far gone, although apparently it looked quite good initially. And so what we decided now is to have a smaller deck and have access to the garden with some stairs. Current access is down through the garage. We walk the length of the garage, and the stairs down to the garage are the old Victorian with a very high riser, short tread, and our older dog can barely make it now. My wife and I, she's actually would have been here today, but she's got a broken foot, so it's in the cast. And so what we decided to do was to have a smaller deck and then access to the backyard and then develop the backyard more as a backyard, whereas previously it was too much was sheltered. So that is my input.
Thank you very much.
And since our application, we have about 14 support letters from the neighbors. We did do an outreach for on the 5th of the month. People showed up well, and we're here to hopefully get this approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item?
I'm a neighbor at 312.
Please approach. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm not going to take 3 minutes.
It's okay.
I'm Dorothy Glancy. I live at 312 Laurel Street. I'm a neighbor, and I very much support this application for a variance. I have enjoyed that deck myself.
Your audience.
Good morning. Well,
everyone in support?
Yeah, I actually went to my cardiologist.
Okay.
We've known Peter for 15, 20 years. He'll be fine. I know your day's full.
If anyone would like to dispute the record, you know, please feel free to do so.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning. Marianne Massenberg at 419 A Laurel, representing myself, my husband Bob Purcell at 419 A, and our neighbor Bill Petrie at 419 upstairs. We've been in our house since 1972. Many of the neighbors are longstanding and have known the Trendles since they moved in. The homes on Laurel Street are very similar to each other. One thing we're proud about the nature of our block is they're old Queen Anne Victorians that have been nicely maintained. And most of the homes, including ours, have rear decks. So we would very much support the Trendles' application simply to not just rebuild their deck, but to even make it smaller. Thank you.
Thank you.
I support Marianne. I'm the other person at 419.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Laurel Street. 421 Laurel. I've been there since the 40s and seen the neighborhood change. And I don't think the variance would change the character of the neighborhood. I think it should be granted.
Thank you. So I don't think I could sound either very well, but I appreciate. appreciate the project sponsor's attempt here to still maintain the usable open space directly from the main living level of their home, reducing it, and also to try to improve the at-grade level rear yard and make that more of a kind of traditional rear yard. Note that, like the previous case, this property is a very small lot. This is access from the main living level. We'd also note that this deck is actually smaller than that was proposed under the last project. This is at about 8 by 8, so about 64 square feet. The last one was about 88 square feet. It's also including the stairs down to grade, and would very gladly support the variance and close the public hearing, grant the requested variance, and that is all. And this is the last item.
Do you have your posting?
Yes.
So now we have general public comment. If anyone would like to comment on an item that wasn't on the agenda today, and I think everyone has, they've already spoken. So that we will adjourn this meeting, and again next in May.
May.
Which everyone can go outside. Sorry to keep everyone from the coronation downstairs. And the chief of police has been sworn in.
Thank you, everybody.